It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome in to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. Wait, hold on. Do you have breaking news to start the show on a Sunday morning? Do I need to get the sound effect ready?
Breaking news?
So, do you have breaking news?
So here's the thing.
Black and Abdallah here, ESPN 1000. Do you have breaking news to start the show?
Welcome in. Good morning. Coffee's here.
Coffee's
good
morning. Here. Iced coffees.
Ready.
We're ready.
I feel like
you got breaking news
this
over
is
there?
A question of...
Right.
Of legitimacy, okay. Right?
All
right? If this was if this was the NBA, if this was the MLB, if this was the NFL, we would give it the proper due.
Hold on.
The NHL.
If this was the NFL on a NFL Sunday,
absolutely.
And we got news like
we'd
this.
We play it twice.
Well, that would be breaking news.
I think.
I don't
because,
know, but
no,
are
no,
people
you
actually
know why?
Paying attention to this?
I think
what's
they,
going on this
is
morning?
Important. This is important. This
right.
is important.
Right.
So I say...
Should I do the official setup to the show again to make sure that we're fresh
no,
ready
no, no.
to go?
No, we're good. People know. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. It's already hopping in there. Where were you? Now there's a line outside. There's too many people.
No,
I'm kidding.
We're all, everybody in the Twitch.
Everybody in the Twitch, wear a mask.
There's live sports today. So here in this country.
There's supposed to be live sports in this country right now. Good morning. There's supposed to be an MLS game, but guess what? Hit that.
So we're playing it. We're going to play the sounder because I'm just making sure. Because
I just was. Did you not?
We're going to start the show.
I was about to.
We're going
to
talk about John Lester yesterday. We're going to talk about Michael Kopech opting out on Friday.
I was in the middle of saying hit the sounder.
Is pitching coach questioning? What?
I was in the middle of saying hit the sounder.
So we get Cubs, White Sox. So this is what we're doing. Sounder now.
This is breaking news.
Hold on. You weren't ready for it?
I was setting you up for the sounder.
So you want to cue the sounder.
Before the show started, should we hit the sounder? And I go, have it ready.
All right.
We'll feel this out.
Okay.
And I feel like we should give the people.
Okay.
So you ready?
That was Rachel Ray, by the way. When we had Rachel Ray on the show. She laughed at your joke.
Hit the sounder.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So this morning, the MLS is back tournament has a game scheduled.
8 a.m.
Or had a game scheduled.
Breakfast
Toronto
ball.
FC going against DC United later on today at 7 o'clock. Sporting Kansas City, Minnesota United FC play. And at 9:30 tonight, Real Salt Lake and Colorado Rapids face off. But Abdallah, you have breaking news for us this morning.
The Toronto FC and DC United match scheduled for 8 a.m. this morning has been postponed. MLS Deputy Commissioner Mark Abbott confirms that DC United had a positive COVID-19 test in the final round of testing before game day, and Toronto FC had an inconclusive test. DC United arrived at the field for the game. Toronto did not.
Okay, so this is going to open up a larger conversation as we move towards live sports in this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can set up all of the protocols, you can set up the schedule, you can set up the training, you can then get the facilities right. You know, we see yesterday all of these NBA teams arrive at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. They're practicing. You see these giant ballrooms with NBA courts in them. Everyone's doing the right thing. We see the protocols, everything's set. Yet when we get to the actual scheduling of games, the testing could just eliminate a game immediately. You see on one side, inconclusive testing. The other side, a positive test. Thus, Toronto FC, DC United was supposed to start 4 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it has now been postponed.
It's the MLS, so it doesn't actually start on time because, you know.
Well, they're a little, they don't get the whole soccer thing that when you start on an hour
when
and
you
start.
The game starts at 8 o'clock. It's supposed to start at 8 o'clock. So here's the statement from the MLS. I read most of it already. But because of the arrival time of the clubs in Orlando, the league's protocol called for retesting both teams this morning and await the results of those tests prior to playing the match. So they have all day, right? They schedule these games early in the morning and late at night because of the heat and the humidity in Florida. They could technically play this game today still, but they probably won't. It's like it's a tournament style, so you play in your group, and then the winner of that group moves on, all that kind of stuff. So they could just move this match until later. You know, like DC United and Toronto could play the rest of their games and then play this game later and figure that out and reschedule it, because I'm sure they've built in some times. You could wake up early and play a game at 8 o'clock in the morning again like you did today. You could do that tomorrow if you wanted.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a game scheduled for tomorrow. I haven't looked yet for 8 a.m., but you could theoretically do this game tomorrow.
They have two night games.
Okay,
they have a 7 o'clock and a 9:30 game.
So theoretically, you could play this game tomorrow. You could have all the teams get retested. You could get the results for tomorrow, and you could play this game tomorrow. Now, with baseball, you've got a three-game series. How do you reschedule? Because this is, I think, with the amount of games baseball and the NBA is going to play, this seems like it's going to happen, right? Like, this is going to happen.
You mean positive tests, thus shutting down games?
Shutting down a game. It feels like it's going to happen.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Now, the hardest sport to reschedule would be college football, would be the NFL. Like, what are you going to do? Schedule all the games for Saturday in hopes to play, and if you get a positive test, maybe a college football team plays on Sunday. They just stay an extra day. They play on Sunday or something like that.
Yeah, I would imagine anything past like Sunday night would be pushing it.
What would you do for the NFL teams? Would you try to play on Monday? Because then you're on a short week. And then, so this is all logistical stuff that people need to, and officials need to work around.
Here's the one benefit I think the NFL, obviously Major League Baseball, what they have, and these college campuses have as well. You know, the dates on the calendar are not being taken up by like concerts and other events.
True.
So like Soldier Field, sometimes we see in September into October. Mm-hmm. You could see,
you've got other games. They play other football games.
Other games, high school events, and then also concert series. You know, when someone like the Rolling Stones come to Soldier Field, they need Soldier Field for a solid like 7 to 8 days to set up the stage, to set it all up, and then have the concerts, and then to leave.
There's no Ditka Dash this year. You're running around Soldier Field.
I mean, I think they're going to do it virtually.
You do a virtual Ditka Dash.
Like, I got the email for the Chicago Marathon. It's like, you can do the marathon this year.
What is this, Tosh.0?
I mean,
do you remember Tosh.0 did a treadmill marathon?
That seems like a living hell.
A treadmill marathon?
Yes.
It seems awful.
I would guess there is nothing less satisfying
than
running on a treadmill for 4.5 to 5 hours.
I've done the Ditka
Straight.
I did the Ditka Dash once. My sister wanted to run it, and so I ran it with her, and she made me wear the mustache. She's like, you're wearing the damn mustache.
Yeah, I mean, but that's a 5K? Maybe a 10K at most?
I think it was a 10K.
You can deal
I think it
with,
was an option.
You
it was
can
an
deal
option.
With wearing a mustache for a 5K.
Yes. It was annoying, but yes.
You certainly could. I mean, heck, there are people that run the marathons in costumes.
There
I think
are.
Those people are out of their minds as well.
There are people that juggle the entire time.
Think about the chafing of a Santa costume as you run through a marathon.
I don't. There's not enough. There's not enough powder in the world.
I mean.
Anyway.
I mean, think about how many Band-Aids you got to wear for that. I mean, Lord.
My nipples hurt just thinking about it.
So okay, we're 12 days away from opening day with the Chicago Cubs facing off against the Milwaukee Brewers at Wrigley Field. 12 days. It's gonna creep up on us pretty quickly here.
Soon.
So, we look at this whole situation, we see what's taking place in the MLS, and we bring it up to start the show because I think it sets the table for everything else. Like, right, when you look at the MLS and the MLS is back tournament that's going on, it's taking place at the same location. The NBA is gonna do their tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you get an outbreak of teams that have COVID-19 with the MLS, I know it's two different links and they have two different sets of protocols that they're kind of trying to juggle down there. But if there's a major problem with the MLS completing this before we even get to the NBA, that to me will be an issue. And then we roll it forward with baseball. It seems like baseball, even though they tripped over their feet to start the race and getting players back, it seems like they've kind of gathered themselves and they are setting the right protocols in place, and we are finding out guys around Major League Baseball who are testing positive.
Yeah.
And it's like one individual and they remove them from the team.
Still have had no positive tests.
Which is fantastic. We see yesterday with the Yankees, Aroldis Chapman tested positive. They remove him from the team. They don't know when he'll be back. It's a major blow for the Yankees, but they're a deep team. They have a deep bullpen. They should be able to figure it out. So all this kind of comes into play, and it's something that we are going to have to report on and talk about as it happens. And you have to, as a sports fan, and I'm trying to get my head around it, I'm going to have to prepare for a game on the schedule, Cubs-Brewers, getting ready to play at 6 o'clock, and then you find out that the game's not happening.
Well, think about it this way. Well, hold on.
What was the timing on this MLS game being postponed?
It was like 15 minutes before, 20 minutes before.
So we found out within the last 20 minutes that this game wasn't going to take place at 8 o'clock Central Time.
But think of it this way. MLB has a setup for this. It's a rainout. It's a COVID out, right? Because the MLB, if you're in a city that you don't go to again, you either play a doubleheader or you wait until the end of the season. And if that game doesn't matter, you just don't play it. Or you have to go back and find an off day to play it. So if the Cubs and Brewers, if a game gets postponed or delayed because of a test, you just play a doubleheader the next day. You play a game again when you go. You play a doubleheader when you go back to Milwaukee or when the Brewers come here or something like that. MLB has a setup for this. They've been dealing with rainouts for years, forever. So you have the setup. The MLB will just treat it as a rainout. What I'm interested to see is what you have the luxury of in the NBA and the NHL is everybody's in that central location, right? Everybody's already there. Nobody's leaving the bubble of the NHL. Nobody's leaving the bubble of the NBA. What I want to see is if there is a college football season, if there is an NFL season, how those protocols are laid out. Because now the negotiations, if you follow Ian Rapoport and all these, and Adam Schefter, and these guys are saying everything's been agreed to except for the financials and the safety protocol, which are like the two most important things.
That's what we just saw with baseball.
Everything else has been negotiated.
Look at the way that started.
There might be a labor dispute in the NFL. It's not being as reported on because you don't see players. You just see a few players. Like Allen Robinson had some things to say on Twitter and stuff like that, more in GIF form and whatnot. But ultimately, I want to know, and players need to know, as you see these things start happening, what's the protocol for the NFL? Now, it's been noted that if college football decides to not have a season or delay a season, the NFL will schedule games on Saturday. And if they postpone a game, will they just stay there until Sunday? Will they just stay there until Monday? And then you're working on a short week and everything else. So ultimately, you have to have these protocols in place. Now, the MLS can figure this out. They could play this game tomorrow. They could play this game Tuesday morning, whatever. They're all there. No one's leaving. But the NFL, NCAA football is going to have bigger problems.
I think it was a correct usage of the breaking news sound effects throughout the show. I think we handled that the right way.
Tyler Ackie producing the show, what do you think?
Well done. I approve.
Yeah.
All
okay.
out.
I mean, so that, I mean, that kind of got
you
it.
You can't really
covered.
Take it back. So.
Yeah. I mean, you could apologize. You were the one that told me to hit the breaking news sound effect.
You have to, the MLS, the EPL, everybody, this is all test cases. Everybody is watching what is going on. The UFC has dealt with this. You know, we saw last night on Fight Island. Sorry, Fight Island!
Well, yes, we didn't even get to Fight Island yet.
We saw that, you know, the reason you had Usman and Masvidal was because of a positive test.
Right. So, but the news, the reason why it required the breaking news sound effect was because the game was postponed.
There was a game postponed.
We're going to get positive tests.
My money was just refunded. I had Toronto.
So is that really the reason why we led with that?
Because I got my money because I had a bet on that game?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Coming up next on Friday, Michael Kopech, White Sox pitcher, said that he is opting out of the season. Well, Don Cooper had thoughts for the Chicago Sun-Times. You'll want to hear this next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Giolito, Keuchel, Lopez, Cease, Gonzalez. That's your five-man rotation for the White Sox. And on Friday...
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
It's okay.
It'd have been a lot nicer with Kopech in it.
Well, at some point, right? Like, yeah. like you thought yeah. that Kopech was going to ride in and save the day at some point this season. He is opting out of the season.
Progression.
We learned about that news on Friday, the Chicago White Sox releasing the statement. So Michael Kopech will not be participating. One of many MLB players not participating. Also Buster Posey on, I believe, Friday saying he's not going to participate, which is his right. If he doesn't feel comfortable in this year, the 60-game season with COVID-19 and the testing protocols and trying to get Major League Baseball up and running, it's his right to not play. I think it's, you know, what's fascinating is he's one of the youngest players to say he's not going to participate because someone like Buster Posey, how many championships does he have? Three?
Yeah.
And he's made millions of dollars. So, like, when you look at the life situation and someone like that, I know that they just adopted twins who are in intensive care, I believe. I understand all that. And like, you can logistically, like, get your head around that. But, like, as a young person, you would say, like, man, I would really like some money in the bank, right? Like, I'm sure Kopech will eventually get to that point. But Michael Kopech choosing to opt out, that's his right. Right. Like, I didn't know that we were going to have a conversation about people within the team possibly questioning what his decision was until I opened the Sun Times and I see ESPN.com writing an article off of the Sun Times article of pitching coach Don Cooper from yesterday.
Well, I think that there's yes. And Don Cooper said that a few things about Michael Kopech. But I think that going back to having money in the bank and, you know, I'm not going to question the reason anybody opts out. You want to opt out? You opt out. That's fine.
Yep.
What's good for White Sox fans, what's good news for White Sox fans is that he's not on the list of players. He doesn't have an ailment which will make him a severe risk. So the White Sox still have 5 years of control of him going into next season, right? So I'm not. So if you want to opt out, opt out. As far as having money in the bank, Kopech's doing just fine. His wife is on Riverdale. He's got money. Dude's got money, right? He's not worried about where his next meal is coming from. He's not like slumming it in the minors, making whatever an hour, eating ham and cheese, American singles.
Hey, don't go talking slander about ham and cheese.
I'm not.
It's a good Greg combo.
Sure it is.
And sometimes if you put it in a pan with a little butter and you toast that up, it's a great combination. So okay. don't go after the ham and cheese.
Frying bologna?
Hey, fried bologna is pretty good too.
My point is that Kopech's going to be fine. And if you go to The Athletic and James Fagan wrote on Friday after the news broke, it said that sources indicate that an abbreviated 3-week ramp-up period cast doubt on Kopech's ability to be properly ready for the season. That lingering question and the uncertainty about his role in an abbreviated 60-game campaign factored into his decision to pass up what would have been his first season back from Tommy John surgery. And that leads into what Don Cooper said to the Sun Times yesterday.
So here's the quotes from Don Cooper. Now, this is in the Sun Times. ESPN.com has picked it up. You've probably seen it. The push notification sent to your phone this morning as well. The White Sox announced on Friday that Kopech, who's publicly discussed struggles with anxiety and depression, has opted out of the 2020 season. I think it's interesting that ESPN wants to point that out before we get to the Cooper quotes, because here are the quotes from Don Cooper, Chicago White Sox pitching coach, to the Chicago Sun-Times. He says, "I don't know what's going on with Michael, but I know how he deals with some anxiety issues and depression. And my thought is, I sure hope he's okay." Kopech, who missed the start of the summer camp earlier this month because of the White Sox called a personal matter, also was quoted in saying, "Last time I saw him in spring training, he was in a great place. But let me put it this way. I sure hope the kid is okay. I'm concerned that he's not okay." Cooper also went on to talk about the camp, Michael Kopech's camp, and hoping that this decision was made from Kopech himself and not his camp. So, like, these quotes, when I read them this morning in the Chicago Sun-Times, and I see that ESPN has now picked up this story, the first thing I thought of was, well, that's kind of strange. I thought that the White Sox as an organization would take the same stance, kind of like how we laid it out at the start of this segment. If someone wants to opt out, that's fine. We get it. COVID-19. You don't want to deal with possibly catching it or the testing or whatever. It's fine. I think it's interesting that someone, a coach, his pitching coach, like, is it not, am I reading this wrong, that he's questioning the motives?
Well, so,
like, how should we interpret these quotes? Like, I don't know how to feel about this.
So that's why I read the quotes from The Athletic, because I feel like that kind of leads into Don Cooper's quotes, because Cooper also said, if his reasoning for not playing is because of a concern, this is from the article from the Sun-Times, if his reasoning for not playing is because of a concern about the risk of injury in a three-week ramp-up period to the shortened season, as has been reported, it's news to Cooper. Here's what Cooper said. I've not heard anything about that. I got nothing to say about that because it's been reported. I want to hear it from Michael's mouth. I don't want to hear it from Michael's camp. So we all know that Michael Kopech has dealt with anxiety issues.
Mm-hmm.
So if he has anxiety about returning because of the coronavirus, because of his adopted twins, because of all that kind of stuff, I get it. 100%. Never, ever going to question a dude for doing that. But if he's opting out because he wants to start and they told him you're not going to start right away and he's got questions about his role, like that quote from The Athletic, the lingering question and the uncertainty about his role in an abbreviated 60-game campaign factored into his decision. So if he's worried about, if this dude is just like, I want to start or else I'm not coming, then now he's never been, as far as I know, like that guy that's like,
no,
I'm not coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
You can't, like, this is what I want to do and I'm only doing this. Like, he's never been reported to have a bad attitude about starting, about his rehab, about anything like that, right? So you have the Don Cooper quotes factored in with what was reported in The Athletic. It kind of makes you think, because if he is sitting out because of the anxiety about returning during a pandemic, 100% support him, right? But if he's saying, I only am coming back if I'm going to start in a real season and this season isn't real type of thing, then you start to question his motivation for opting out. Now, I don't know, just like Don Cooper doesn't know, just like you don't know, because we haven't heard anything from Michael Kopech yet. And, you know, he doesn't have to say, well, I have anxiety, I don't want to come. Like, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
There's no responsibility for Michael Kopech to come out and say, this is why I opted out. I just opted out. Deal with it. So, but because he's not saying why, and because Rick Hahn had a statement that said we're going to support him and we're going to continue with his rehab and all that kind of stuff and his progression in our organization, and we can't wait to see him in 2021, it just makes every White Sox fan think, why is he opting out?
Well, I didn't think that until the Cooper comments.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? I guess what struck me this morning is around Major League Baseball, so-and-so, former All-Star, former All-Star, star, World Series champ, opting out, the organizations put on a front together embracing, okay, this individual doesn't want to participate.
Mm-hmm.
We support him. Buster Posey, take care of your family. We'll see you next year, mm-hmm. whatever takes place. I'm shocked that this seems like the Cooper quotes are like out of turn to what the organization originally said on Friday, because now it's shedding some question and doubt into the conversation, which I didn't think that we were going to be doing this, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought that we were all kind of agreeing that, like, we get it.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm wrong. In 312-332-3776, maybe I'm wrong and we should question. I don't think that's the case.
I don't think we should question people for opting out, but I also think at the same time.
But I didn't think on Friday, as a White Sox fan, I was disappointed. I said that on the show. We opened the show talking about this. And I said, I'm disappointed because I was looking forward to him pitching. I'm not disappointed in his decision. You see what I'm saying? But the quotes from Don Cooper seem as if there is something else possibly going on, mm-hmm. which I think is just not the right way to kind of handle this. Like, the White Sox statement on Friday, what Rick Hahn said should have been it, right? Like, Don Cooper should have just said, I'm guessing we support him in his decision. We'll see him in 2020. But the more you continue to talk about this and when you have quotes out there, leads to what you said, where White Sox fans may now question the decision by Kopech.
Well, I think that, you know, you look at every player that's opted out, right? And Buster Posey having a press conference, some other guys, you know, having a notes app post or whatever. We haven't gotten that from Kopech. And I'm not saying we need it. I'm saying that from people that have opted out, they've used it as a platform to say, hey, I'm concerned about the health and safety of my family. This is why I'm opting out. Because when, because here's what I look at it from, you know, from the perspective of a White Sox fan, as, hey, if the White Sox had a chance to win a World Series this year in an abbreviated season.
They could.
And someone of note.
You see Lewis Robert yesterday falling over, hitting home runs.
Listen, hey.
How about that?
Spring training's fun, man.
How about that?
Spring training's fun.
Let's go.
But the point is that if you have a chance to win something, like if, you know, if the Yankees or the Dodgers or someone big from one of those teams, the fan base might feel like they are owed an explanation, right? The fan base, if Mike Trout opts out, if Chris Bryant had the quote this week, can you imagine if I opted out? Could you imagine the public?
Are we sure Mike Trout is playing?
Yeah, Mike Trout's going to play.
Okay, because the door's still open for him.
Of course, the door's still open all season. Look, if someone in the middle of the season is like, I don't like the way this is going and I don't feel safe, I'm opting out, I don't have any problem with that.
If you go to our Twitch channel on the chat, you can find the Twitch channel ESPN 1000 Chicago. Powers Magoo is the name.
Powers Magoo!
I think he nails it with this. Don Cooper's quotes are subtle shots at mental health issues. I kind of agree. When I read that, I was surprised, and I get that Don Cooper's from a different generation, but I was surprised with what I read in the Sun-Times today and the quotes from Don Cooper in responding to Michael Kopech and pointing out depression issues in the past, dealing with anxiety, and this whole situation. Because, yeah, we're all anxious right now.
Yes.
Going anywhere in public makes me anxious. You know what I'm saying?
I saw Wrigleyville yesterday, man. We'll get to that later.
When I read the quotes today, I was surprised. I thought the organizations in Major League Baseball, that people would stand behind the individuals who were opting out, and I didn't know that we were going to start questioning motives and camps and who's doing, like, I just thought it was weird. Maybe I'm the only one that thought it was strange waking up and reading it this morning.
No, I thought it was strange too, but I think that, you know, when Don Cooper says that he wants to hear it from Michael's mouth and not his camp's mouth, that he's also a guy that's like, I want to hear from the player and not his agent or not his rep or whoever it is. Like, Don Cooper's a very old school guy. Like you mentioned, he wants a face to face with Kopech to figure it out.
Well, okay.
Which I don't necessarily think he needs.
And that's fair to say, I want to hear from the kid. But also, he goes on to say multiple times he hopes he's okay. Well, didn't the White Sox tell us on Friday he's opting out because he didn't want to participate in the COVID-19? Like, what in that would lead a fan or anyone outside the organization to believe that he's not okay? See what I'm saying? Like, I thought we all understood that if someone wanted to opt out, it's okay.
Absolutely. And since he's not at high risk, I think the assumption was he's dealt with anxiety in the past. He's got, you know, twins that are in the ICU, and he wants to take care of them, and he wants to temper his anxiety. And that's okay. Go ahead. Sure. Opt out. That's fine.
So this is a story to keep your eye on. Michael Kopech opting out for the White Sox. It was announced on Friday. Don Cooper quotes in the Sun-Times yesterday.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Last night on ESPN Plus pay-per-view.
Gentlemen, after five rounds, we go to the judges' scorecards for a decision. The judges score the contest 50-45, 50-45, and 49-46 for the winner by unanimous decision, and still the undisputed UFC welterweight champion of the world, Kamaru, the Nigerian Nightmare, Usman.
So Usman beats Masvidal last night in UFC 251. We had a show Friday night sponsored by Body Armor previewing the fights, the card yesterday at Fight Island, Abdallah. And let me ask you this, before we get to the actual fights in the ring, do you notice anything different about Fight Island on TV than you would if it was taking place in the state of Illinois?
Yeah, I did. Going in and out of the fights, there were pictures of deserts. There were pictures of camels. There was a dude sitting in the front right by the ring that was in traditional, Middle Eastern attire, if you will.
Sure.
So that's the that's basically the difference.
Okay, because I was going back and forth.
Some
I was
cool
watching
crane shots
some of the
Abu
undercard.
Dhabi.
Yeah. I'm watching the main card on ESPN Plus. Watching the different fights.
You know why they did it on Fight Island.
It's a gimmick.
Travel is restricted to America. Right now, because of the pandemic, travel is restricted from countries, whether it be going out of the country or coming into the country. If you go to Abu Dhabi and in this island that is now Fight Island, there are no restrictions. People can just fly in and out. So you fly them in and out and you test them and you fight. You might not have gotten some of these fights because people can't fly in from certain locations.
And Abu Dhabi is the only location where you could do that?
Well, it's the only place where you could buy an island. I mean, part of an island. Why don't you like things that are cool?
No, I mean, I liked watching the fights. I'm just saying the hype about Fight Island completely unnecessary.
The announcer dude yelling Fight Island is awesome. Is awesome.
No, I mean, yeah.
Fight Island.
Yes, that was
fighting.
Fun. Yes, yes, they fought.
I think I owe $100 now.
Usman wins the fight over Masvidal, and he talks about having respect for the fighter who took the fight 6 days before.
I knew George is tough, you know, at the beginning. I've always said it, you know, minus all the trash talking and all the things that went on, which I know largely wasn't him.
Right.
It was, the representative and all the stuff backs behind the scenes. But, you know, George is a tough guy, and I give him credit for that. They call him game bred for a reason. He's always game to fight. But, you know, I'm just the levels better. You know, I have more tools in the toolbox, and when I need to pull them out, I can pull them out and use them. Yeah, like Game Bread is the biggest, baddest dude out there right now, and I had to switch gears and prepare for him on 6 days' notice. You know, I know a lot was made of him of taking the fight on short notice, but you know, he's preparing. All these guys, they're preparing for one guy, and that's me at the top of the mountain, and I had to make a mental shift. I mean, I trained for Gilbert. I had a completely different game plan,
right?
And I had a lot of little things, you know, coming into the fight. But, you know, that's no excuse. Game Bread is tough, and he showed it out there. You know, he took a lot of big elbows down there on the bottom, but he kept getting up. He kept fighting, and he didn't quit.
So Masvidal, I thought, looked tired early in the fight.
Yeah.
And I think that you could possibly attribute some of that to the fact that he didn't have a full camp. I know that he was training and they got the call and he's 6 days and he was already training because he had this date on the calendar. I get that. But he didn't have a fight on the calendar for this date until 6 days ago.
I think that he threw some good punches there in the later rounds. So I think that if it would have been more of a boxing style fight, he would have been fine. But the thing about Usman is he's a guy that's going to lock you up like he did early. You know, you saw him get Masvidal on the ground in the first round, but most of it was just that standing up and then taking shots at the midsection, trying to get the knees in. And what is with the foot stomping? Enough with this foot stomping. If it would have been a split decision and the guy won because of foot stomping, I'd been so mad. Like, that was just annoying. It's like, dude, and I think the announcer even said it, like, just punch me. What are you stomping on my feet for?
Well, right. And, you know, if you think about it, man, that's got to hurt.
Well, yeah. Like, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get him to lift up a leg so you can get him off balance and take him down. I get that. But Usman is a boring fighter.
Yeah.
This is what he does. The rest of the card was great. There were great fights. You know, Holloway probably should have won. Jan had a great fight. Like, there was all these great fights. Rose had a great fight in her win. She got her eye busted, dude. That cut on her nose was so deep and her eye swelled up. It was great. It was a great fight. So the rest of the card was awesome. The main event was super boring because of one of the best boxers in the UFC was gassed after the first round, and two, because the guy who holds the title is one of the most technically sound grapplers and wrestlers in the UFC, and that's just how he fights. It's like the last main event where the I can't think of his name right now, but the big dude basically just sat on him for like five rounds.
Yeah, he tired him out.
And that's how he won. He's like, I'm just going to hold you on the ground and just take shots so they don't pull me off of you for five rounds, and that's going to be it. It was a boring fight, yes, but that's how he fights.
So UFC 251, Usman wins. He's now 12-0 in the UFC, tying George St. Pierre for the longest win streak in UFC welterweight history. You know, I mean, you're right. It was a good card, late card, though. I mean, what, the main event went off at right after midnight?
Yes.
I mean, that's a late card. Yes. And, you know, you sit through all of it. You know, I had the prelims on throughout the early evening. Go to dinner, come back, you have it back on, you get the main event, the pay-per-view on. I think it's cool. I'm glad that the UFC and boxing have figured out how to continue on with their events throughout this pandemic. As we see soccer today postponing a game in the MLS, but we are seeing European soccer play right now. We're watching Aston Villa right now take on Crystal Palace.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you can get the sporting events going. So I like that this continues to go on, and I appreciate that Dana White continues to find a way to offer sporting events for us, because it gives me hope that we can actually have all the other main live sports come back. Like, I get it, that there's less people involved in the UFC to put on an event like this, but the protocols are there.
No,
and the
event goes on. I mean, there's... Yeah, you say that, but also, how many fights were there last night?
There were a lot.
There was prelims on ESPN Plus, then there was the undercard on ESPN, then there was the actual fight. You've got trainers, you know,
but is it more people than two college football teams playing a game?
No, absolutely not. But I'm saying you've got like five or six people per fighter that you're dealing with, plus an entire crew, plus all the reporters that were there. I mean, it didn't look full. Obviously, there's no crowd, but there were people watching. Like, you could hear, you know, like the corners cheering and everything like that. I thought it was a great event. And guess what? More Fight Island on Wednesday.
Yeah, I know. And the following week's coming up, we get more UFC coverage. And our coverage here on ESPN 1000 is brought to you by Body Armor.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Download the Black and Abdallah podcast on the new ESPN Chicago app. You can download our new app, the Apple Play Store, or the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store. Download the app, find Black and Abdallah, the podcast, right there on the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black, along with Adam Abdallah. It's now time for our favorite segment of the week. It's called Good Question. This is how we play. Throughout the week here on ESPN 1000, when a host asks a question to a guest on the phone, and the guest responds to the question by saying good or great question, you score a point. And we track this, and we keep records, and we've been playing for about 3 years now. So now we go to the leaderboard in the year 2020. Who leads our good question standings?
Tommy over the middle. Tom Waddle has 24 right now. Jonathan Hood in second place with 23.
Ooh.
And Cap, take that with 22. Now, Cap has been off all week.
Yes.
So he has no chances to take the lead. So it's prime position for Waddle and Hood to separate themselves, or can Carmen or Sylvie break into the third spot?
Well, Carmen was off all week.
So Carmen's not going to be. That's a good point.
Probably scoring any points
that
here.
That is a good point.
But let's see if Sylvie. Sylvie.
That is a good point.
Make up some ground here. This is this week's edition of Good Question.
Yeah, I got a question for. Can I get an answer?
Question,
you're going to take any questions?
You want me to let me finish talking? You ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. Don't interrupt me, okay? Just leave it plain and simple, all right?
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Dad, I got a question for you. Can I get an answer?
Do you understand?
Question that drives us near. It's the
question that brought you here.
How could you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance?
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
Dad, I got a question for you. Can I get an answer?
This week's edition of Good Question.
Charles, do you feel like the road ahead for
Katie George,
college football, college athletics will be more challenging than what pro sports leagues are facing?
That's a good question.
Well, if in that lines, who's taking the bigger risk
Wingo.
Here? Is it Masvidal for taking this fight on a week's notice and, as you said, still has some weight he's got to shed and get that taken care of? Or is it Usman, who was walking into a very, very difficult fight here while he was preparing for somebody else?
That's a great question.
Give me your hottest Patrick Mahomes take on the contract. Because no one's like, it's a bad. I mean, it's $500 million. But what is your hottest Patrick Mahomes
look
take?
Look at this.
Ooh, it's a really great question.
The crowd
really
aspect
great.
Of it is interesting.
Go,
but
Joe.
To me, also, I think one of the parts just anecdotally that so many guys relied on and so many athletes fall back on is the nature of routine and how important it is. How much do you think the disruption of the routine, whether it's been in players' off seasons or even as it pertains to how they have to go back now with all of the precautions taken around COVID-19, might actually affect performance or their readiness to perform?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question.
Do you get the sense that the guys collectively feel kind of confident that things are going to go okay from the health front and that a season will, in fact, be played?
You know, and that's the big question, and it's a good question.
At looking at the on-the-field
again,
portion, because that was one of the things
again.
That we talked about in regards to the NFL yesterday, was concerned by the players of the chance of injury increasing when they've come back, how long it's going to take guys to get into shape. So from what you saw last night, we had Orlando City beating Inter Miami 2-1 last night. What did you see on the field, and what have you felt like has been the reaction so far to a return to play after such a long layoff?
Good question.
What was the song at your wedding reception that really got everybody hyped and going?
Fitz!
Wow, that's a great question.
Robin, were there particular people in the medical community that you guys leaned on to get information as you made these decisions?
That's a good question.
As we were doing the baseball show, Tyler asked me a question about players that could make an impact for either side of town. And I said, it could be between Keuchel and Grandal on the Sox side. On the Cubs side, I said that I was not committal because I said whoever the new player would be for the Cubs that could pay dividends for the Cubs, maybe he's not on the squad yet, or maybe someone that's been undiscovered because the Cubs had very little movement in the offseason. Maybe whoever that person is going to be is going to be the actual closer, because I don't see Kimbrel being that guy for the long haul.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a good question.
Wait. Tyler, producing the show.
Do we have to investigate this?
Are you the Tyler he's talking about?
Yeah. Huh.
Okay. So was that your question?
Technically, I asked Hood a question.
Well, he didn't
earlier.
Say yes, so I don't know if we can.
But Hood said Tyler asked me this question.
I will say this. Hood didn't really ask a question.
Wow.
You made a statement.
Wow.
All right.
Tyler
Breaking Bad on his host.
Wow.
Oh, fair enough.
Did you get the number to that bus?
Wow. Also, Jonathan Hood sent me a good question from yesterday. Did he not send it to you, Tyler?
He did not, no.
Okay. To add a point for Jonathan Hood, he got one yesterday on Dickerson and Hood.
Okay. But what about this one?
Boy, I mean.
Is this a Tyler question?
This gets back to what happened, I think it was last week, right?
Yes.
Sylvie.
I love Tyler.
Well, he didn't really ask a question.
I mean, wow. How about that?
But if he the question was, he said Tyler asked me a question.
Yeah.
And he then said your question, right?
But Tyler's saying that it was a statement. He didn't ask a question.
But he did say a question. And Tyler said the question.
Tyler, go ahead. Defend yourself.
If I'm getting in on the standings here, I don't want my first point coming from Jesse. That's the way I'm going to leave.
Wow. Wasn't that Chuck Garfine?
Yeah, no, it was Jesse.
Was it Jesse?
It was Jesse. Mm-hmm. So there's immediate speculation in that decision.
I'm not saying, maybe you don't get the point, but is it a question at all then?
I'm just thrilled at what has taken place here. I mean,
what are we doing here? Controversy. We've got.
Tyler, is it a question? He didn't really ask.
He made a statement. He made a statement.
How about this? Someone alert Jonathan Hood this morning.
So do we just call it a wash and say no points?
No points awarded.
VAR, no goal.
No, by the letter of the law, I think the point stands.
But it's for you or Jonathan?
For Jonathan, because what we had it last week with Sylvie, where he asked Waddle's question.
But we gave the point to Waddle.
It's happened.
Oh, did
before.
You?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. We gave the point
to
Waddle.
No,
we gave the point to Waddle.
I don't know about that. I think you're a corrupt scorer.
No, I'm not. We gave the point to Waddle. We said that's Waddle's question because Waddle asked it. He said Waddle has always asked this question. And so he asked that question.
Who asked the question?
Sylvie asked it, but he said...
Oh, yeah, it's a Waddle point. It's easy. Yeah, so if it's your question that Jonathan Hood asked... Now, here's the tricky scoring loophole.
Okay.
I'm not saying this happens. Hear me correctly, because I don't want to hear take that and all this nonsense behind the scenes.
Oh, I know what we're doing.
Hear me out.
Wow.
Hear me out.
This is deep state stuff. This is deep state stuff. Are you? He's
so,
coming
so be,
hold
behind
on.
The scenes.
He's coming back to work this week. Are you sure you want to do this?
Behind the scenes in radio. So if you're listening to the program, we appreciate
watching
you. And
Twitch.
In radio, a producer at times will come up with questions for said interviews and will write out a list of questions. It is something that we've all done. I'm a producer. Abdallah's a producer. Tyler's a producer. We've all done this, right?
True.
So the trick of the trade, if you are one to want to score points for yourself, would be to just use said questions for the show that were created by somebody else, but for the show. See, and where you get into the problem in the loophole here is it is a respectable move to give credit to the person that gave you the question. So Jonathan Hood doing the right thing.
Yes.
Sylvie last week doing the right thing.
Yes.
But the points do not get awarded to them because it's not their question. Now, if you're just grabbing questions out of thin air, you see what I'm saying?
Well, here's
and using them for yourself to collect points.
Correct.
That is something a host could do.
Correct.
A bit tricky, but it's fair.
But, yes. But when the host, but that's also true in any, like the host is not going to say, Danny gave me this question. Chris gave me this question. Adam gave me this question.
I'm just saying
but,
that is something that happens in radio.
Yes. But when the host goes out of their way to say, Tyler asked me this in the break, or, you know, we were talking about this in the meeting and Tyler asked this or Chris asked this. If the host goes out of their way to say it, then I believe it's not only one. Is it good enough? It's a good enough question for the host to call you out by name. Props to you, Tyler.
Yeah, I think it's a point.
I think it's a point for Tyler.
Tyler, you're going to get a point.
Welcome
here.
To the board. Welcome to
Jesse,
the board,
though.
Tyler.
You have also created major issues behind the scenes here at ESPN 1000.
Are you producing for Jonathan this week at all?
Yes, one time.
Good luck to you. Good luck to you.
We're back in 2 minutes. We have conversations about Cam Newton and the Bears. More information. Once again, the story coming back. And, oh, yeah, right. Tyler, good luck to you, my friend.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.